Welcome back to the clubhouse here in the McAdoo studios. Danny Noakes, Chris Barnhart, and Chris Coleman of Tech Sideline with you for one more segment. Again, follow Chris Coleman on Twitter at ChrisColemanTSL. We spent a lot of that first segment breaking down basketball, second segment mostly on football. And here we're going to continue to talk a little bit about the defense. One position that we haven't really talked about a lot here is the linebacking core right now. And Tremaine Edmonds is a guy that I've talked a lot about here in this offseason, and I think a lot of people have their eyes on him right now. He's a big kid. He's going to replace Deion Clark, which I have to think makes Bud Foster smile a little bit, because Deion showed flashes of greatness at times, but then, you know, other times he'd make a lot of mental mistakes would make Bud want to pull his hair out.
He was never mentally into his college football career. He never managed to really bulk up in his 4 years at Virginia Tech. At one point, he even lost 15 pounds from one semester to the next. He wasn't mentally there as a football player. He had talent, but he was never able to get past whatever mental issues he had to realize his talent level. I don't think you're going to have those kind of issues with Tremaine. What he needs is time. The reason they played him last year as a true freshman was to get him as many reps as they could, put him in a better opportunity to win the starting job this year. And I think he will. All early indications is he's going to win that backer job. So it's just a matter of him settling down and getting reps and filling out as a football player. And I think he'll eventually do that. He comes from a football family. His the Edmonds parents back in Danville, they're good people. And I think it's going to work out for Tremaine.
One thing that Bud said that caught my eye here is that he kind of compared Tremaine to Xavier Adibi, who was, you know, ended up going on to play in the NFL, a good linebacker out of Virginia Tech. Of course, when you bring up those guys, you're not directly comparing them to one another, but that's a pretty good.
Virginia Tech's backers are all starting to look the same. I mean, it's from Xavier Adibi. And who was the guy they had a couple of years ago? Backer.
I'm thinking Vince Hall?
No, Vince Hall was a Mike. It was just 2 years ago, 2013, he was their starting backer.
Oh, man.
Why can't I say the name? He was at Pro Day a few weeks ago, still working out. Anyway, early in his career, before he hurt his leg, he was the next Xavier Adibi.
Right.
He had that type of athleticism. And then Deion Clark was a Xavier Adibi clone. He was a kind of a rangy guy who could run, but he never filled out and just, you know, kind of messed up his career there at the end with some bad decisions. So Tremaine is a bigger version, a taller version of those guys with a bigger frame. So I think the future's bright for him. And I agree with Bud that he is a Xavier Adibi type. He can run. He can move laterally. You saw him make some plays in that bowl game against Tulsa that you want your backer to make.
Now, moving to the inside linebacker position, you're the Mike. You got this Andrew Mutuipuaka, who started last year. Well, he pulled a calf muscle and allowed Carson Lydon to come in a little bit in the last week or so, I think, to get some first-team reps.
He did.
And that's important, because we talked about how it's going to be important for them to have depth everywhere. But, you know, if Mutuipuaka can't stay healthy, and Sean Hughes can't stop for the rest of the spring. So,
yeah, well, we see from last year from Mutuipuaka, we saw a sprained knee in the second game. Then we saw a torn meniscus that they didn't even diagnose until after the season, apparently. And now we've seen some kind of calf injury. Virginia Tech needs to get better at Mike. And whether that means Mutuipuaka staying healthy and getting better, or whether it means Carson Lydon beating him out, they need better mic production. There's no question about that. The mic play was not good last year in any way, shape, or form. Average would be a major improvement this year, in my opinion. So I'm glad Carson Lydon's getting the reps. I'd like to see both those guys be able to get reps, but I think Carson Lydon has the higher ceiling. I like Motu. I think he's a good kid. I don't think he has the long-term potential as Carson. So I'd be getting Carson as ready to play as I possibly could right now if I was Bud.
If you're a Mike linebacker, you have to have a killer football instinct. Mm-hmm. You have to be pretty much in on every single tackle. Mm-hmm. And looking at his high school film, Carson Lydon was that type of guy. And limited action last year, it was the type of flashes that you'd see, because, you know, he's big, although size isn't everything, especially at the linebacker position, but it certainly helps. And he's got, I think he has that killer instinct that a Mike linebacker needs. Jack Tyler had it, and he wasn't the biggest guy, but, you know, they need someone to come in and be an animal.
Yeah, you're exactly right. And Carson has what Charlie Wiles would describe as a heavy shoulder. You know, he's a big hitter. I remember when he came in against East Carolina last year, and he made that tackle in the backfield, and that guy stopped.
Yeah.
I mean, he went backwards. By the way, Tariq Edwards was the name. A few minutes ago. But yeah, Tariq was a really good football player, very much like Xavier Adibi until he hurt his leg. But at any rate, yeah, I look at Carson and then I see exactly what I want in a Mike linebacker. He just needs reps. And I was upset with the way he was handled last year. After they pulled his red shirt, he was not getting reps in practice because you can only rep the first team and the second team. You know, at that point, if you pull his red shirt, I go ahead and give him those second team reps, or at least half of them. Otherwise, it's kind of a wasted red shirt, and I wish they'd handled that a little bit different.
Now, the other thing, if this won't even be an entire transition to the offensive side of the ball, but these practices are getting sped up a lot more. They're a lot faster paced. The periods are shorter. And Bud Foster actually acknowledged that the speed at which they're running and in which the offense is running too kind of helps the defense, right? It kind of helps condition them. You have to, you know, I guess adjust on the fly a little bit more when you're going out against an offense that's more spread out like that. So even the Fuente putting in his new offense and installing it, it also helps the defense, it sounds like.
Yeah, you've got to make decisions faster. You've got to recognize alignments and formations faster. You know, you're not going to have 20 or 30 seconds to be able to identify which formation you're facing and to get your alignment correct. And that's one of the reasons, you know, an up-tempo offense forces defensive mistakes from an alignment standpoint. It's just sometimes if it takes a while for the defense to recognize what formation they're seeing and to get lined up properly. So Virginia Tech facing this offense in practice, it'll actually make offenses slow down once they get into an actual game, I think. So it can only help.
Now, everyone wants to know about the quarterback battle, and unfortunately, we don't have any answers right now.
We don't have any answers.
And we certainly don't expect to anytime soon.
We're not going to have any answers. We're not even going to have any answers after the spring game, because I bet they split that team in half. So you won't even know who the starter is at that point, or who was first on the depth chart at that point. And in the end, it's just a spring game. I mean, whichever quarterback plays behind the better offensive line will probably end up doing a better job.
Yeah.
That's just the way it is.
Yeah.
And I remember Michael Vick's first spring game, he got outperformed by Dave Meyer. Spring games don't necessarily mean anything.
Yeah.
So it's going to be a fun day for Tech fans to tailgate and watch some football.
Of course.
But it's not going to necessarily tell you anything about the football team or the quarterback battle.
Yeah, the one thing I think that is somewhat telling, but you would expect this, and it's more of an overall assessment, and it's that Coach Fuente has said of spring practice in general, the older and the more experienced guys have fared better, be it on offense, you know, the more experienced guys that have played more. And you look specifically at the quarterback position, because he gave that assessment to those guys as well. So my thought is you're probably looking at Jerod Evans and Motley is your two front runners right now, with Lawson too far behind.
And define experienced.
Yeah.
Because Jerod Evans is a redshirt junior, but he hasn't taken one single snap in a Division I football game. Dwayne Lawson has. Mm-hmm. So technically that makes Dwayne Lawson more experienced in a Division I football game than Jerod Evans. So, you know, he gave that answer, but what is his definition of more experienced?
It's making us all go crazy.
Yeah,
it seems
it really is.
But it is you certainly understand where he's coming from and why he's kind of hiding that battle, because those kids are going through enough. I'm sure it's high pressure on them every day, wanting to win that position. I just have a hard time believing that it's going to be anyone other than Jerod Evans. If you know he's a guy that Fuente's had his eye on for a couple of years now, and coming over is a JUCO, you know. He's older, right? We don't know if it's more experienced or not, but
yeah.
Certainly that would be my bet, I suppose.
I think that'd be the smart bet,
right?
I think that's been most people's bet since the very beginning. if you put a gun to my head, I certainly wouldn't bet against him.
Yeah.
I do still think it's open. I mean, I think Fuente came into it with an open mind.
Yeah.
But if it comes down to it and they make him pick somebody, if none of those guys say, look, I'm the best quarterback, and they prove it during practice, if he just has to pick one of them, then he'll probably pick Jerod.
Yeah. And but I also like what you said. I definitely do think it's open. I just – I know fans are clamoring for at least like a hint at who might be a front runner, and right. Honestly, we just have no idea. This is just speculation here at this point. But, man, we're out of time. It always flies by.
It does. It does. We'll talk again next week,
though. Absolutely, man. That's Chris Coleman of Tech Sideline. One more time, follow him on Twitter, at Chris Coleman TSL. Certainly appreciate his time and coming in and hanging out with us for today. For now, we will step aside, take a break, come back, and wrap up the show here on a Friday. Keep it locked to Super Sports 101.7.